DW Africa Link.
Protect your kidneys. Why, you ask? Because the kidneys filter waste and extra fluid from your blood, helping to keep your body clean, balanced, and healthy. So it's a genuine concern that all around the world, cases of chronic kidney disease, CKD, are on the increase. It's projected to rank as the fifth leading cause of death globally by 2040. CKD was once considered rare, but is now experiencing a rapid rise in Nigeria. Some estimates suggest that over 25 million Nigerians suffer from chronic kidney disease. That's exceptionally high, considering that it affects more than 600 million people worldwide. Health officials in Nigeria, especially in northern states, are alarmed as the number of patients needing dialysis and kidney transplants is unusually high. So what's causing this increase, and how can it be prevented? That's what's coming up. I am Eddie Micah Jr., and you are welcome to Africa Link, the podcast connecting you to the stories that matter.
Africa Link, every weekday here on DW.
Chronic kidney disease, CKD, is surging in especially northeastern Nigeria, with some communities like Gwang in Maiduguri reporting prevalence rate as high as 30%. That's nearly double the global average. The cause remains unclear, though suspected factors include contaminated water, pesticide use, unregulated painkillers, synthetic foods, extreme heat, and possible genetic links. Now, the crisis is worsened by weak healthcare infrastructure, limited access to dialysis, and high treatment costs. For more on this, let's bring in Dr. Babawa Rugoni. He is the Chief Medical Director of Yobe State University Teaching Hospital, Damaturu. I also have my colleague, Mohammed Alamin, DW correspondent in Nigeria. Hello to the both of you. Dr. Waru, tell me more about this increase in kidney disease in Nigeria. How serious and widespread is it?
Thank you very much for that beautiful question. The situation in Nigeria is not very different from the global perspective. We know that globally, about 10% of the general population, you know, are affected by chronic kidney disease. We are seeing a transition of this condition from high-income countries to low- and middle-income countries, perhaps due to lifestyle changes. Also, the cumulative total number of people living with chronic kidney disease is around between 800 to 850 million people globally. Here in Nigeria, the situation is not very different. Studies done in various parts of the countries puts the prevalence of chronic kidney failure or disease between 10 to 15%. But in some parts of the country, it could be as high as 20%. And the causes of the chronic kidney disease globally is the same thing. Hypertension, diabetes, and then chronic inflammation of the kidney. That's what we call chronic glomerulonephritis, or CGN for short. These are the three common causes worldwide. And then we also have other causes like chronic abuse of painkillers or analgesics, what we call analgesic nephropathy. People take drug indiscriminately over the counter, and if they have been taken for a long period of time, they can be harmful to the kidney. Also, even traditional concoctions or herbs that are taken indiscriminately over a long period of time could also affect the kidney. Then the effect of the climate on the kidney. Because of the global warming, particularly those of us in the tropics, in the northernmost part of Nigeria, ambient temperature could be between 40 to 45 degrees Celsius between the months of April, May, and June. So people lose a lot of water. People lose a lot of water through sweating and then, you know, insensible water loss in the body. So if they are not most often replaced, in the long run, they will create heat stress on the kidney, and that can also lead to, you know, malfunction of the kidney and can lead to chronic kidney failure. So these are basically the common things. Then obstructive uropathy in the elderly or the middle age, in which you have a large prostate, can also affect the kidney and can cause blockage of the urine pathway. So that one could create a back pressure on the kidney and can affect the kidney if not treated on time.
Right.
These are all causes of chronic kidney failure.
There's a general increase in kidney disease around the world, and Nigeria,
yes,
no exception. Many African countries, as you seem to be alluding to, are also going through that. So, and you're saying that what has caused the increase also is climate change effects, global warming. That
yes.
is one way you feel has caused this increase, and this is why we are talking about it now, which is all good to note. But so if I have a kidney disease, how do I know? How do people know that they should get treated for a kidney disease?
That's a good question. One thing with kidney disease is that initially it doesn't have symptoms. So it's asymptomatic. And it can linger on for quite a long period of time. By the time the patient or the person starts presenting with the symptoms, then a substantial part of the kidney is gone. So that's the problem. That's why regular checkup is very, very important for it to be detected earlier. So the symptoms that can the person present with, because we know the basic function of the kidney is the removal of waste product from the body through the urine. And some of these waste product in the body can, if they accumulate, they are harmful to the body. So, and the kidney plays a very vital role in the production of red blood cells, because it produces a hormone, what we call erythropoietin, that will stimulate the bone marrow to produce red blood cells. So when the kidney fails, the symptoms the person will present is accumulation of waste product in the body that can be harmful, what we call uremia. The person will present with swelling of the face and the feet. The person will become very weak and fatigued because of low blood in the body. It can even lead to anemia, anemic heart failure, and so on. Some of the waste product that will accumulate under the skin can result in chronic itching. You know, the person will become very pale. His appetite will be lost. He will be vomiting a lot. There are, it's almost all the system in the body has been affected. Mm. And that's what the dialysis does. It removes those harmful things that have accumulated in the body through filtration. That's what the dialysis machine does. And then for the blood also, they are given drug that will now make them to produce more blood. So it's the functions of the kidney that has been picked one by one to be replaced artificially by the dialysis as well as the drug that has been given to the patients.
Okay. It looks like, coming to you, Mohammed Al-Amin, that this is definitely serious. And as doctor is saying, it's generally spreading around the world, spreading across Nigeria, but particularly in the north, especially when it comes to the issue of global warming. It's hotter in the north, so even more cases in those areas. But are people aware? You've been reporting on this. You've been speaking to people on the ground, talking about community awareness, education programs. Is it happening? Do they know? Are authorities really up and running with this?
There are a lot of awareness campaign in so many communities. The government is doing it via mass media, and there are local organizations and non-governmental organizations that are also doing the awareness campaign in so many places. And I understand there are some professionals, health officials that are also doing so. So generally, there are a lot of awareness campaign among the people.
Right. And what are the challenges? You know, you've been speaking to also health experts and hospitals. What are the challenges they are facing in either, you know, educating people or even treating the disease?
Well, there are a lot of challenges, actually. Number one, the high cost of treatment is a thing of concern. And I definitely know that the hospitals and the doctors are battling, because somehow not okay for the doctor to see a patient and the patient cannot afford to pay for treatment of his disease. And I understand there are some limited of specialists about on these diseases. And because of the, I mean, call it literacy about it, people are not aware of the disease. So there are a lot of late in diagnosis. Many patients seek medical help only when the disease has progressed to advanced stages, which is if they did it before, the cost of a treatment will be maybe a little bit cheaper.
Right. I mean, doctor, that is definitely a huge challenge, isn't it? You have been, you know, dealing with such cases. You've been treating patients. And now we understand that it's not even easy for people to come and treat a kidney disease. So how are you dealing with these challenges? How are you helping people get cured?
Thank you very much. Here in Yobe State, one of the strategies we adopted, we realized that the cost of dialysis is quite high. And, you know, kidney disease is a very expensive disease. So it can really, really impoverish individuals, families, and even the community. So we appealed to government, and for the past 8 years, the Yobe State government has improvised a program in which people with chronic kidney disease in the state have been dialyzed freely. So the free dialysis services has helped quite a lot. At the moment, the state government is voting around 30 million naira per month. That is annually around 360 million to provide free dialysis services for the people living with chronic kidney disease in the state. We've signed an MOU with a reputable company that provides most of these drugs and consumables for the dialysis, and that has helped quite a lot. At the moment, we do about 600 free sessions of hemodialysis every month for our patients. If the average that you pay in other centers is around 50,000 naira per session, and somebody needs to do at least two sessions in a week. So you're talking about 100,000 per week. And that will go on forever unless the person has undergone kidney transplant. And then, you know, minus the cost of blood tests, minus the cost of other drugs and so on. So this has really, really brought relief and succor to most of the families of individuals living with this condition.
Right, but is it enough, though? Because it still seems that more money needs to be pumped in into healthcare, right, to make sure that people are treated. And if it's not enough, what it basically means is, if you're rich, you can get cured. If you're not, then it's you and your God, basically.
That, you know, the state has also introduced the Contributory Health Management Agency, in which most particularly people in the formal sector, civil servant, both at the state and local government level, and even the individual can register with the scheme. And at the point of care, all you need to do is to pay 10% of the cost, either of the laboratory tests, of drugs, or of the treatment. And that's also helped a lot. And through the Basic Healthcare Provision Fund and the Equity Fund, more than 40,000 individuals have been registered across the 178 political ward of this ward of the state to benefit from free healthcare services. The vulnerable people, especially the elderly, the chronically ill, orphans, widows, you know, students, physically challenged, and so on. So that has also helped in relieving the other aspect of the treatment. And secondly, they always say prevention is better than cure. And it is because of that that the state government constituted a committee through the BioRTC, which is a world-class research center established at the Yobe State University. We collaborated with researchers from other, you know, institutions in the country, like ABU, Bayero University, UNIMED, as well as from the United Kingdom. So there is an entity called Chronic Kidney Disease of Unknown Cause, or CKDU for short. Now, this entity has been found out that a lot of people in agricultural communities around the world, they come to hospital with chronic kidney disease, but they were not previously hypertensive, nor diabetic, nor the other known cause of kidney failure. And most of them have been linked to toxins in the environment, like agrochemicals and so on. So the people we are working with in the United Kingdom are also international collaborators in Central America, for example, in, you know, El Salvador, in Nicaragua, and other countries. We had similar problems. They also did similar work in East Africa and Southeast Asia, like Sri Lanka. So that's why we also co-opted them into this research group to find out if there are some environmental factors that contribute to the excess of this condition. particularly in communities in along the fringes of the River Yobe, from where the state got its name, in the northern parts of the state. And this year, early in February, we went out, we did a population-based survey in which we took their blood pressure, their blood for test for diabetes and kidney function. Also, we're going to do genetic analysis because studies have shown that there are some genetic factors that contribute to, you know, chronic kidney failure in certain individuals or families.
Right.
We also taken environmental samples like the soil, the water, samples from the food chain like the fish, and the vegetable that has been grown commonly in those communities. And at the moment, we've sent such samples to reputable labs in the country in which analysis for heavy metals and other toxins is being carried out. And once the result is ready, we're going to make it public and recommend for government and other agencies to, you know, proffer solutions or find
right.
out ways of preventing such things.
So let's say, I appreciate all that you've said. I think that's really good. Laying down, you know, the foundation of what really is being done, and more tests are being done, carried out to get to find out more about the kidney diseases, probably the new types maybe that are coming out. How do I prevent myself from having a kidney disease? Is there something that we can do by ourselves?
That's a good question. Basically, prevention is one, regular medical checkups. First, people are encouraged to come to the hospital for regular checkup for their kidney functions, for diabetes blood tests, and then to check their blood pressure regularly. And if they are hypertensive or diabetes, they should be very, very religious with the treatment. Visit their doctors regularly, take their drugs, and so on. Also, exercise is very, very important. Regular exercise can help prevent hypertension, diabetes, as well as development of obesity or overweight, being overweight. At the same time, even if a person is hypertensive or diabetic, if he exercises regularly, it makes his drugs to work better. It makes him to control this condition better. So exercise is very, very key also. And then regular checkup in the hospital. So basically, then because of the heat stress, people should take a lot of water, especially during the heat season or hot season, so that they replace the what they have lost in the body regularly. Regular, you know, taking of water is very, very key also in improving kidney health. So these are some of the factors that will help.
Right.
Then we should also avoid things that are harmful to the kidney, like indiscriminate use of painkillers or analgesics, indiscriminate use of most of these traditional herbs or concoctions that people take indiscriminately, as well as, if the person has some obstructive urinary problem, particularly the elderly, he should be taken to the hospital to be seen by urologists, so that if it's a prostate, it can be treated easily there.
You've talked about a lot of very key things. Thanks for sharing that with us. You also talked about taking painkillers. Now, I know a lot of people who take painkillers because, you know, you have a headache, you have some pain part of your body, you don't want to deal with it, especially if you're working. You need to take a painkiller. Are you saying that too much painkillers can cause a kidney disease?
That's right. Not all painkillers. For example, not things like paracetamol, for example. This is quite safe. But even that shouldn't be taken indiscriminately without doctor's prescription. There are a class of painkillers called NSAIDs for sure. They're non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, things like aspirin and its family. So those ones, if are taken indiscriminately for a long period of time, they are injurious to the kidney, and cumulatively they can result in chronic kidney failure. So we discourage people from taking that. People who are usually people with chronic back pains and so on, especially the elderly, or people following road traffic accident, you know, after a fracture, speaks or something, analgesics and so on. So those people are that are usually vulnerable to develop chronic kidney failure. Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Doctor. Mohammed Al-Amin, we've been listening a lot to what Dr. Goni has been saying. Let me first check. How are people aware of how frequently they should be checking?
Honestly, there are very few. There are very few because so many believe that you are just living like that, you are healthy, and you just go to the hospital and be checked. They will detect one disease and it will start developing from there. So a lot of people are not going for medical checkup in this community, in most of the community, I see. So very few believe that it's a good thing to go and be checked every, maybe twice in the year, or like what I did, a lazy one in a year.
And as we wrap this up, Doctor, I mean, you've said a lot, you know, basically what individuals should do to prevent, you know, to decrease our chances of getting kidney diseases. You've talked about exercising, you've talked about drinking a lot of water, you know, among other things, regular checkups and all of that.
Yes.
And that's definitely good advice. I've learned a lot from this. What more is needed from authorities? Because as you say, it's not just a Nigeria problem. It's Africa continent wide. It's global. But what do many African countries need to do more compared to the wealthier nations around the world? What do African countries need to do to deal with this issue?
Yeah, Eddie, that's another good question. Well, they need to do a lot of provision, bringing healthcare to the doorstep of the common man. Like now the free dialysis we're doing, obviously, we've seen that a lot of our people who are even living outside the state are now coming back to access this care. Preventive messages also, through traditional institutions, leaders of communities, faith-based organizations, and so on. If people are being, you know, during either religious ceremonies or gathering, people have been educated and enlightened, they will adopt a very healthier lifestyle and even positive attitude towards their health. At the same time, also, the healthcare should be subsidized to the citizens, particularly people with kidney failure. If we have centers that offer free dialysis, and then you train a lot of healthcare professionals with modern technology to offer these services. Transplant service at the moment is very, very scant in the country, and very few people can afford it. You're talking about an average of 20 million naira for somebody to undergo kidney transplants, not to talk about the drugs and some of the tests the person undergoes. So if government can train more healthcare workers, collaborate with centers that are more experienced, either within or outside the countries, to provide these services so that people can have such things at their doorstep, it will go a long way also in bringing relief to families. At the same time, also, sometimes we need to do a lot of regulations. These over-the-counter drugs that people take indiscriminately, even our Francophone neighbors now, if you go there, you can't just go to a chemist or a pharmacy and say, I need that drugs without a prescription. Nobody will give it to you. But here in Nigeria, people, because maybe not lack of enforcement of such regulations, people abuse it indiscriminately. Even traditional, this thing, if you go to traditional market, weekly markets, you see people hawking all sorts of drugs. Some of them have expired. Some of them, only God knows what is there. And people buy it. You buy drugs, antibiotics have been given maybe one or two doses, you know, and a lot of things. So I think regulatory authorities in the country need to enforce some of these laws so that people should not be allowed to take drugs indiscriminately, be it traditional, alternative, or the orthodox one, so that this way we can prevent a lot of things, not only kidney, but other harmful effect of it.
Right, right. Dr. Baba Warugoni, Chief Medical Director, Yobe State University Teaching Hospital, Damatu. Also, my colleague, Muhammad Alamin, DW correspondent in Nigeria. Thanks to the both of you for sharing all this with us. CKD is not just a problem in Nigeria. It's a continent-wide crisis. Sub-Saharan Africa in particular is bearing a heavy burden. Countries like South Africa report prevalence rates as high as 25%, often linked to the rising burden of non-communicable diseases like hypertension and diabetes. Globally, CKD is underdiagnosed and underfunded, especially in low- and middle-income countries, leading to delayed treatment and high mortality. But here's the thing, we can all make a difference. Authorities, stakeholders, and most importantly, you, the individual. We all have a role to play in preventing CKD. It's not too late, but the time to act is now. We'd like to hear from you on this, so please share your thoughts with us on our Facebook page, DW Africa. Your voice matters in this fight against CKD. Listen to us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast from. Don't forget to click follow and subscribe to our DW Africa YouTube channel so you never miss an episode. This show was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabe. And I am Eddie Micah Jr. Thanks for listening. DW. Made for Minds.